Galatians chapter 6. Like I said, there's quite a few passages of Scripture I want to mention to you today. But this will be our central passage. I want to ask you, I know that we've been standing most of the morning, but if there's ever a reason to stand, it is in honor of the reading of God's Word. So I want to ask you if you would mind standing as we read this passage, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh they will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Thank you. You may be seated. May God bless the reading of His Word. Father in heaven, thank you for your Word. Father, as we look into your Word today, Father, teach us, enlighten us, challenge us, and Lord, may you find us desiring to serve you and to serve you well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I asked you this morning if anybody was tired, if anybody was aching or hurting. Well, guess what? Saw a lot of hands. Saw a lot of other people that are just didn't want to raise their hands. I know. All right. Wow, this passage. Reaping and sowing, right? Today's, the title of this message is Don't Grow Weary, okay? Don't grow weary. If you're a note taker and you want to put that up there, don't grow weary. I told our prayer group this morning that, but we do grow weary, right? So maybe I should have titled it Be Encouraged When You're Weary or Find Strength When You're Weary. But the truth of the matter is, the Scripture says, let us not become weary in doing good, okay? So, I want to ask you, this may sound like it's completely off topic, but as far as reaping and sowing goes, how many of you have ever planted a garden? Garden planters, all right. Have you ever been surprised by something that comes up in your garden that you did not intend to plant? And you know, besides weeds. I mean, have you ever? Let's just say in your garden that you were, you planted your beans and your squash and your cucumbers, your tomatoes. Everybody plants tomatoes, right? And the first things you plant are radishes because that's what blooms first. And you got a garden when you got radishes, I guess. Some of you go really far out there and you've got corn and watermelon and cantaloupe. And does anybody do all that? My address is 131 Corrigan Avenue. No, I'm just teasing. Let's just say that you've got a garden that you've planted and you've tended to it and you're out there and you're weeding it. And you see this plant that doesn't look like a weed, but you don't quite recognize what it is. And you kind of watch it for a little while and it gets tall and big and it's beautiful. And this big old flower comes out and you recognize, oh, that's a sunflower. All right? So you got a sunflower growing in your garden that you didn't intend to plant. Or, I mean, how many of you would assume that one of the squash plants or maybe one of the cucumber plants morphed into a sunflower plant and grew a sunflower? How many of you would think that that's probably what happened? Why not? Doesn't that happen all the time? That things just morph and change into something else that you... I mean, if you plant cucumbers, you hope to get cucumbers, but it might be a squash or a pumpkin, right? No? Because what you plant is what you get? Okay, so then you would probably assume that either a sunflower seed got mixed into your vegetable seeds when you planted them, Or maybe a mischievous neighbor snuck over at night and planted it there. Either way, the sunflower grew because it was planted, right? In the natural world, it would never question the law of sowing and reaping. We would never question that. If something in our garden is growing there, it's because it was planted, either by me, by something else, or a bird or something. But it got planted. It didn't just... But this principle is just as true in the spiritual and moral realms, okay? Job put it this way in Job chapter 4, verse 8. He says, "As I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it." You plow trouble and evil, guess what you're going to get? Trouble and evil. Did you know that in most cases, a person's character is the product of seeds planted in his or her early life? Early on. That's why it's so important that we teach them the truth when they're young. This last week at VBS in the Park, our mission, Love Cleveland, the truth was taught to a bunch of young kids. It was. There are people in place to help continue to teach them as the opportunity presents itself. There's probably not enough people in line to continue to minister to those kiddos. But we have no idea what those kids went home to when they left the park. I mean, we sent them home with a sack and some whatever they had left from their lunch, chips, banana. Those strawberry Fig Newton things were awesome. Maybe part of their sandwich. Maybe it was something else they had. But we don't know what they went home to. We don't know if they went home to supper that night or just kind of maybe they were yo-yo. You're on your own. I don't know. We don't know what kind of families they went home to, if they went to a family at all. I know that some of the stories, there was kids that went home to not a mom and dad, but to grandma because there was no more mom and dad. Many of those kids go home to broken homes. Did you know a person's character cannot truly change until his nature is changed? And the only way that can happen is through the rebirth of a person in Jesus Christ. That's the only way our nature gets changed. Romans chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 also says it this way. It says, "There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil." Reap what you sow, right? First for the Jew, then for the Gentiles. But verse 10 says this, "But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good. First for the Jew, then for the Gentiles. For God does not show favoritism." The work that Jesus did at the cross, and as Haskell prays, you know, we thank you for the work that you did at the cross. It was work. It was work. And he did it. He accomplished it. Matter of fact, when he was done, he said, "It is finished. There's no more work to be done. What I was sent to do has been accomplished. It is finished." And what he accomplished there was he removed the ultimate consequence of sin and made eternal life available to us. Okay? Now, he didn't just remove the consequence, the ultimate consequence. What's the ultimate consequence of sin, folks? Death, an eternity separated from God the Father, right? We call that hell, Hades, whatever you want to call it. It's not good because it's away from God. Jesus did not completely remove that. He gave us the opportunity to not have that part of our future. Okay? There are still people who either choose or because they don't choose, that is their future. My hope and my prayer is that you choose Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." He says, "I'm the door. I'm the key. I have..." Jesus is the answer. While that eternal consequence has been taken care of for us, has been bought and paid for by the precious blood of Jesus, we're not exempt from the heartaches, from the wounds, from the shame and the pain of our sins and foolishness here on the earth. Okay? Cause and effect still apply, even for the Christian. I mean, you steal, you get caught, you go to jail, or you pay restitution, or whatever. Even if you repent and receive God's forgiveness, right? For it's written in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, John writes this, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But yet there are still consequences. You eat too much on a regular basis, there are consequences for that. Right? Yeah? You get older and older, and then you go out and play basketball with a bunch of kids. There are consequences for that. I'm not going there this morning, brother. I got you. You stay out in the sun too long without sunscreen, there are consequences for that. Right? Okay. Even though Jesus purchased eternal life for you, there are still consequences. You make bad decisions, there are consequences for it. In verse 8, in our text we had today in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, it basically says that if we sow into the world, we reap what the world has to offer. We reap what the world has to offer. But if we sow, listen, if we sow to please the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, right? The Spirit of God Himself. If we sow to please the Spirit, we reap what the Spirit has to offer. Now let me ask you a question. What the world has to offer, what God has to offer. Is that really a choice? But yet we face that choice every day. We face that choice every day, and sometimes we take this choice over here because the world offers something right now and immediate. You know, we're in a very whatever the word is right now, instantaneous. Well, there's a instant gratification. I get it right now. I can go home and play with it. Right now. Even though I pay 28.927% interest for the rest of my life, I'm going to be playing with it today. Right? I'm going to drive it home today. We like instant gratification. But if we reap, we sow into the world, we fall into the water cooler talk. We get involved in extramarital affairs. We surf on internet sites we shouldn't be surfing on. We talk about people we shouldn't be talking about. It's all there, folks. All of that stuff. We sow into that stuff. Guess what? We're going to reap. Somebody's going to be talking about you. Let me tell you something. Usually when they're talking about you, it's not the best of topics, right? Usually when you're talking about somebody else. If we sow to please the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, we reap what the Spirit has to offer. And you know what the Spirit has to offer? It's called the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. It's all good stuff, resulting in eternal life in heaven with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let me be clear on one thing here, okay? A Christian who sows according to the flesh does not lose the Spirit, but he forfeits the fruits of the Spirit, which are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You don't forfeit your salvation, but you forfeit the joy of your salvation. And there's a passage in Psalms 51 when David is praying, and he says, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation." He did not say, "Restore to me my salvation." He says, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." There ain't nothing going to steal my joy. We just sang that song a while ago. I got an old church choir singing in my soul. I love that song. But listen, I heard somebody say one time, I can't remember who, a preacher or somebody, said, you know, devil can't steal your joy, but he takes it when you want to give it. He'll take it when you offer it to him. He doesn't have to. He can't steal it. Don't give it up. Verse 9. There in our text, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, or maybe your version says in due season. I love what Gerald Crabb said. He said there in the Christian life, there's five seasons. You got your summertime. You got your fall or your autumn. You got your winter times, and you got your springtime. You got your spring season, you got your summer season, your fall season, your winter season, and then you've got due season. In due season, or in due time, it says, we will reap a harvest. One of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. That's part of the due season. Sometimes we have to wait for due season to come. Sometimes we have to wait for that proper timing. And it's the Lord's timing. It's not our timing. Do you know people don't pray for patience? I mean, I'm not talking about patience. We pray for you, patience. Okay? But the fruit of the Spirit, patience. People don't want to pray for patience. You know why? Because God doesn't always just grant patience. He gives you opportunities to learn patience. And I don't have time to learn patience. I want it right. I want to fake it home and play with it right now. I don't want to have to invest in it. Layaways for the birds. I want it right now, whatever it costs me. Patience doesn't come like that. But here in verse 9, it tells us to have patience. Do not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time, God's time, we will reap a reward if we do not give up. There's another fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. If we don't give up, if we stay faithful, we will reap a reward. This last week, I saw many people physically weary, and I was one of them. But I tell you what I did not see. I did not see a group of people grow spiritually weary. I saw people continuing to serve others, to play with others, to feed others, all in the strength of the Spirit. They saw the need. They strived to meet that need as long as possible because of the greater need of knowing the love of Jesus Christ. The greater need of showing the love of Jesus Christ so that other people could know the love of Jesus Christ. I mean, we were tired. It was hot. The Lord did provide some overcast on one day and some rain, and that was nice. But then it got muggy, right? My clothes got heavier because of all the wetness. I heard of somebody one time that says, this little girl was telling her mom, "Mom, I'm sweating." She said, "Honey, girls don't sweat. They glow." She said, "Well, Mama, I'm glowing like a racehorse over here." But I saw people in that physical state still spiritually, mentally, emotionally pouring in to other people. Whether it was giving out onions and limes and sweet potatoes or water or playing on the basketball court or kickball or tetherball or pushing them around on the little scooters with the wheels, which I never got to get on. I wish I probably should not have. Thank you. That or handing out food at the pantry or praying with people or cooking sausage on a stick. Thank you, brother. Man, that was a lifesaver. Doing all these things. It was hot, yes, but they were still keeping on because it mattered. To somebody, that was their meal. To somebody, that was their clothes, to the shirt that they were going to wear that night. To somebody, that was the rice and beans that they were going to cook that night. To somebody, that was the only time an adult sat down, gave them attention, and played with them. Asked them their name. Asked them about their life. And listened. It matters. It matters. Don't grow weary in doing good, the Bible says. Sometimes we can grow weary because we don't see it making a difference. People see flashes of generosity and goodness all the time, folks. People under the bridge, they get a hamburger tossed at them every once in a while. They get change in their paper sack or hat or whatever they're holding out every once in a while. But they don't see on a consistent basis somebody that really truly cares and loves them, wants the better for them, wants to help them move to a better position. That's where we lack. That's where our society lacks, is people who genuinely care enough to do something about it. J.J. Watt, he helped raise a huge amount of money to help Harvey-affected people. Y'all remember that? Amen. And man, that did a great work. But that relief has come and gone. He did a great thing, but it was not a lasting difference in people's lives. Did you know that few people witness sustained love, and that sustained love can make an eternal difference in their lives? We've got to be that sustained love. Let me encourage you to continue in the work of the Lord, even when you're not seeing results. We serve a God who doesn't waste anything. Doesn't waste anything. Rebecca reminded me of a story of what happened this week at the park. It was on the second day, on Tuesday. And folks, these kids just come pouring out of the woodwork. We took one kid home who won a bicycle. By the way, we were able to give away 7 different bicycles. But he was pushing his bicycle down the road, so we offered him a ride and took him. And it was a long way to his house. They come from a long ways off to come to this park. They were sad we weren't coming back anymore. Whether it was for the food or fun or whatever, it mattered. On the second day, you know, we gave them this paper sack, and they had put a sandwich in there. It had a banana, the strawberries, little breakfast bars that were awesome, chips, applesauce, string cheese. I love that stuff. You know, the mozzarella, you take it off and you pull it off in little strips and eat it. Man, or you put it in the toaster oven on a piece of toast and it just turns into like almost a pizza. You put some, anyway, I digress. We had a bag full of all this stuff, right? Well, it makes trash. And Rebecca and Juanita, and I don't know who else was out there in the field after most of the kids had kind of gone, they were settled down, they were out there picking up the trash. And this group of kids was watching them pick up the trash. After they came back and they put the trash in the bin, the kids, they got up to leave, and they went out in the field, and they went, dumped out their bags, threw the bag on the ground, and kept on walking. And Rebecca confessed to me, I mean, she says, I was so mad at them. Here we are, Now, she didn't say all this. I'm just putting myself in that situation. Here's what I would have said. Here we are giving you this stuff. We've sacrificed our time, our resources, and we're coming out here, and that's how you treat us. You just want to pour it on the ground and just like spit in our faces. Even then, what do you do? Well, Rebecca told me the rest of the story. Miss Juanita. Y'all know Miss Juanita? She don't play. She and some of those other mothers from the Tough Kids group, they got out there and they started, we ain't having none of that. Y'all get back over here. And she had them over there picking up all that stuff. But have you ever done something for somebody only to see it just like unappreciated? Amen. Huh? Yeah. As a mother, certainly. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would say as a dad too. You know, whether it's intentional or not, it happens. Let me try to regain where I was here because I've gone down a rabbit trail. Oh, that was it. That was it. The next day, 10 to 15 kids raised their hand and said, I recognize I need Jesus Christ. And I want to ask him to come into my heart. And several of those 10 to 15 kids were those kids who were dumping their trash on the field. Yes, clap for that. One thing I learned about kids, they want attention. They will get attention. Whatever they have to do, they will get attention. If they can't get it good, they'll get it bad because it's at least attention. That's the truth. Y'all know that. Come on, tell me. Tell me I'm lying. It's the truth. All right, so it matters. It matters. Other times, we grow weary because we feel like we're all on our own and no one wants to help us. Have you ever been like, there was a group and got really excited and like, oh, we're going to do this thing. We're going to do this thing. All right, let's meet Monday morning. All right, half of them show up. You make a plan to start Tuesday. You show up Tuesday morning and you're waiting around. Where is everybody? I thought they were coming. And Tuesday morning comes and goes and nobody else shows up. You ever felt like, well, I'm the only one. I'm the only one that cares. I'm the only one that wants to do anything about this. Does it even matter? I'm the only one. I'm tired of being the only one. Don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. Sometimes we grow weary because we're not getting our own strength replenished. Where's our strength come from? That's right. May we lift up our eyes unto the hills. From where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our strength is renewed, not by vitamins. Vitamins doesn't renew your spiritual strength. There's not a supplement out there that'll renew your spiritual strength. That'll encourage you spiritually. There's a vital nutrition out there, and his name is Jesus. We need to continue to work while we have the opportunity. Verse 10, and I'm getting really close to the end here. The Bible says in John chapter 9, verse 4, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. When God provides an opportunity, that's exactly the right time to get involved. Because there's coming a day when the opportunity will pass or we will be gone and unable to accomplish our part of God's plan assigned to us. We still have a long summer ahead of us and there's still a lot of work to be done. This message might be just for me as encouragement. To fight the good fight and to finish the race because it matters. But just maybe, you've also found encouragement today in these words from the Scripture. Let us not grow weary. May the words of Isaiah ring true in our lives when Isaiah wrote in 40, verses 29 through 31, he says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That's my prayer for us. That as the Lord finds us faithful, He will renew our strength to keep us keeping on. He gives us everything we need to accomplish everything He desires for us to accomplish. All we have to do is say, here I am. Here I am. So do we grow weary? Yes. We grow weary. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. But let me tell you something. God is a God of restoration. He restoreth my soul. He gives strength to the weak. I love this. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Did anybody grow tired and weary this week? And here, this part was written for me. And young men stumble and fall. I stumbled and fell on the basketball court. And I'm a young man, right? Whatever I think, all right. Ages. I heard somebody say, age is a state of mind. Me and my 18-year-old self. Ooh, that hurt. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar. They will run. They will walk and have no ill effects. That's for us. Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, even physically. God does that because He's got a job for us to finish. Did you know that there's a task laid before you that God has designed for you that He's not designed for anybody else? And if you don't get it done, it may not get done. Let me encourage you. Tell the Lord, here I am. Send me. Because if it's where you want me to go, that's the only place I want to be. It's the only place I'll find success. It's the only place I'll find the true joy of my salvation is in the will of the Father. So if that's what you have for me, send me. Even if it's hot, even if it's muggy, even if it's raining, even if I'm the only one there and it's my deal, send me and I will be faithful, Lord. And God says, and you'll reap what you sow in the Spirit. And I have it all. God is the God of more. Lord, strengthen us. Physically, yes. But God, renew our spiritual strength and keep us on the move for your sake. Lord, there may be somebody here today, Lord, I don't know for certain, but there may be somebody here today that is so weary that they've given up. Oh, Lord, don't let that be. Let them find that their strength can be renewed today. Lord, there may be somebody here who's just tired of fighting because they've never found you. They've never received the joy of their salvation. Oh, Lord, if that's the case today, I pray, Father, that you would draw them in, that they would profess you as their Lord, as their Savior. They would turn over everything to you, and Father, let you run their lives and follow the plan that you have for them. Lord, there may be others here today that are just on the verge of wanting to quit, wanting to give up. Lord, that's not in our vocabulary as a Christian. We don't give up. We finish the race. We fight the good fight. Lord, even in a fight, people get beat up. But we keep fighting. And we keep fighting. And then we train some more. And we come back and we fight some more. And we run faster. We run longer. We run harder. Because it matters. It matters to you. It matters for us. But God, it matters to somebody that we may not even know. So challenge us, Lord. Encourage us. Strengthen us. Lord, you can do all those things. All we need to do is say, here am I. You've got me. I'm yours. Lord, the truth is, that's what we said when we professed our faith in you in the first place. That's why we call you Lord. May those words be true in our life, that you are truly the Lord, and we do what you say. I'm not sure what's going on in your heads or minds or hearts today. But if anything in this word of the Lord, the scripture that struck a chord with you, challenged you, if the Spirit has spoken to you today and said, yep, that's you, oh, let me encourage you, respond to that. If you come to the altar, you come forward for prayer, you go to somebody else for prayer, you stay in your seat, whatever you do, it's between you and the Lord. It's not between you and anybody else. But make today be the day when you say, no more. There's no more quit. There's no more giving up. There's no more even talk about it. I'm going on. And if I run out of strength and I'm still going and I'm going in the right direction, God will supply me my strength. All I got to do is just keep on going on. May that be our story in Jesus' name. Amen. And invite you to stand. I'm just going to sing a song and just invite you. If there is something that I can do for you, I would love to do that. If I can pray with you or talk with you, Rebecca's always here with me. She's my helpmate. She's my partner. The altar is open. There are your friends and family around you. This is the time. Don't waste this time as we sing, you respond.